Welcome to episode 102 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will understand the ins and outs of the word career, gain a better perspective on the idea of a degree, learn how to express qualified agreement with the expression to a certain degree, and understand other concepts such as degree of certainty or degree of satisfaction. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, today we are going to be talking about, well, the whole concept of one particular word, but first of all, we're going to actually start off with a common mistake and then move on to this one particular word that I was just talking about. And the first word that we're actually, or the mistake that we're going to look at, is the whole idea of career, the word career, and how we use that correctly in English, because sometimes Spanish speakers kind of get a little bit confused about how to use that word. And we're going to just focus on that very quickly and then move on to something that I think hopefully will be very interesting for all of you in terms of extending your business vocabulary. So as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair. How are you doing?
Hi, Daniel. Yeah, fine. And you? Everything good?
I'm okay. I'm good.
Here we are for another episode. 102? I've lost count.
102, that's right. It is 102, yeah.
Into the next century.
That's right, absolutely. Good. So, what I wanted to focus on, first of all, is this whole idea of the word career. And there is one sentence that we often hear, Alistair, don't we? And we just want to kind of highlight that sentence and then explain why it's wrong and then move on to this other particular word that we think is quite useful for people to get a handle on. So the actual sentence that is incorrect with career is, I have a career in engineering, right? That sentence I've heard many, many, many times. And let's just discuss that very quickly, Alistair, right? What's wrong there? What is the key problem with that particular sentence?
Yeah, that, or it could be, you know, I studied my career in whatever, Complutense University in Madrid. So basically using career, meaning what you study at university. And in English, it's not a career. This is the problem. So I think because in Spanish you have carrera universitaria and then carrera profesional. So they use the same word for what you study at university, your university qualification, or the subject you study. And then obviously after that, hopefully, if you're lucky, you get a job and that becomes your, what they call your professional career. Now, what's the problem? Well, in English, career is only your professional career. So it's what you do after university or after graduating or obtaining your qualifications. That is your professional career. You don't need to say professional, in fact, because we don't need to distinguish between the two things. You just say, career. You know, my career is going well or not so well, or because your career is always your job in English, not what you study at university. This is the mistake that people can easily make.
Exactly. So you can say, I've had a 10-year career in something, right? Mm. And that means that you've been working in that sector for 10 years. It's got nothing to do with anything related to the actual your studying process at all. So that is the key problem there. It's like, we don't have that connection in English.
Or your career plan. You know, someone may ask you, what's your career plan?
Yeah.
Now you've finished university, you've got your, that we'll come on to in a second.
Yes, I'm trying to avoid that word as well.
Yeah, so what's your career plan? What are you going to do next?
Exactly.
So we know career plan is always something to do with your plan of work, you know, your future working professional life. That's never anything to do with university or studying.
Exactly. So that's one of the main problems, and we just wanted to highlight that at the beginning. Because then we actually want to go onto the word that you should actually use when you're talking about your education, or at least what we would say sort of higher level education, right? If you're talking about higher level education and the type of certification or the type of course that you're on at university would actually not be a career, it would be a degree. Now, I think most people know this word, wouldn't they, Alistair? I mean, most people would know this word, I think. Most Spanish speakers,
degree, maybe. Yes, yeah. But with other meanings, probably.
Yes.
Maybe not. Yes. Well, in Spanish, there is a term, grado, that does refer to studies at university or higher education. But at least in Spain, maybe in Latin America, I don't know if they use the word grado more or less, but definitely in Spain. You know, most of my clients over the years I've spoken to, for them is a carrera when they talk about university,
exactly,
not a grado. Yes, if you explain to them, you say, well, in English we say a degree, you study a degree in something, they go, oh yeah, like a grado.
So yes, exactly.
It does exist, right. But it, at least in Spain, it's just not used very much or not at all, really.
Exactly right. So let's talk a little bit about the types of degrees that you can get I suppose it's the terminology really that's kind of important here. And I suppose if people are going to interviews of any kind, it's kind of important to know the sort of terminology of the types of courses that you may have done. And if you're in a sort of interview where everything's being done in English, you should probably also know how to reference those types of different courses that you've done, right?
The name.
Yeah. The first one's a little bit strange, isn't it? I think that's probably where most people would trip up, actually, in the sort of what we'd say undergraduate in the UK, certainly. Mm. So when you finish an undergraduate degree, you get something in particular, which is a very strange word, isn't it, Alistair?
Yes, a bachelor degree. So now why bachelor? I really don't know. If people are interested, you know, go to internet. I'm sure the answer will be there somewhere. So a bachelor, in the normal meaning, not connected with education, is a thing in Spanish is solterón. So a man of a certain age, I don't know, a 45, 50-year-old man who's not married, you would describe as being a bachelor. No?
Yeah.
Just like a unmarried man of over a certain age is a bachelor. And in the United States, this is slightly contradictory because on the one hand, a bachelor is an older man who's not married. But on the other hand, in USA, a bachelor party is the party that you have to celebrate your, you know, last moments of being single before you get married, which generally speaking is a younger age. You know, it depends when you get married, in your 20s or early 30s, for example. So it's slightly contradictory in the use. Now, in Britain, we would say, in British English, we call it a stag party, you know, or a stag night. Stag is a ciervo, is an animal. So fiesta de ciervos, which is a bit strange. Yeah. I suppose a male macho animal is the idea. Strangely, for women, when I tell people the one for women, they're always quite shocked. They're like, what? Sounds very sexist.
It's strange, isn't it?
Because women is a hen party. So it's come on, fiesta de gallinas, which doesn't sound very nice. We are macho ciervos, stags, and they are little hens. But well, anyway, that's what it is in British English. In American, I think it's bachelor and bachelorette.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I've heard that's in true. American movies, no? So bachelorette, putting the et at the end, I think it's like from French. It just makes something sound feminine, no? So you say a bachelor party and a bachelorette party. But this has nothing to do with the fact that I have a bachelor's degree or an honours degree. That's another word we use. Mm-hmm. Well, what I have is a BA honours in politics. So a bachelor... Mm-hmm. Is it Bachelor of Honours? I'm not even sure how you say it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Must be. 100%. Bachelor of Honours degree. But everyone just calls it a BA.
Yes.
BA, no. Bachelor of Honours degree. Yeah. Now, if it's science, it's Bachelor of Science degree, a BSc. So we tend to use the abbreviations, no?
Yeah.
So if you study chemistry or engineering, you'd have a BSc. If you have an arts, humanities, is a BA, no? Bachelor of an honorary bachelor's degree.
So it's a strange word, isn't it? It's a strange word for that first type of degree, okay? Mm-hmm. Then the other thing is interesting that we would say after that, the next stage is actually a master's degree. Now, here in Spain, at least, a lot of people say, I've done a master They don't say the S at the end, which is interesting. So here in England, if you've done the next level up, you've done a master's in something. So if, like Alistair was saying, it's in science, then you would do an MSc. Okay, so you've done a master's, which normally takes 1 year or something like that. But I think most people will know the whole idea of master's because it's a word that's used frequently here in Spain, at least.
Un master.
Un master, yeah, that's right.
But they use it in English. Singular. Yeah, well, yes. It's not singular or plural, actually. People get confused because they think master's is a plural. So if you've done one, you'd say a master. But it's actually apostrophe S because really it's an abbreviation of master's degree. So it's actually apostrophe S. So when you take away the word degree, you just say, I have a master's in whatever, architecture or something. But it's really a master's degree. That's actually what it means. So it's not master's plural. It's master's, you know, apostrophe S.
Sure. No, that's true. That's true. Absolutely. And I think that's a really important point to say. If you, especially if you're in your interview, I mean, it's a tiny little detail, right? Yeah. But you could say, oh, I have a master in this. But no, actually, in English, we would say, certainly in British English, we would say, I have a master's in this, right?
Exactly.
I have a master's in architecture.
Yeah, a little detail, that one letter S, but it does just make sounds your English is better, higher level.
Absolutely. And then the last one is obviously a PhD, which is also interesting in some way. I actually have done a PhD for my sins, and it's a very interesting abbreviation. A PhD is a doctorado, right, in Spanish. And in English, when we say PhD, it's actually a doctor of philosophy, right? No matter what you study, it's a doctor of philosophy, which is really weird.
Yeah, whether you actually study philosophy
kind of
or or physics or I don't know or whatever, it's always doctor of philosophy for some reason.
No matter what you study. So yeah, the abbreviation there, if you want to say it in your interview, you would have to say I have a PhD. You can say it, it's a little bit easier than saying, well, yeah, I have a PhD is the best way to say it, right? Because otherwise it gets very long-winded.
PhD in something. To go back when I said about honours degree, I think some people also interpret honours makes it sound like something super special. Oh, you've got like some really high-level degree that's better than another degree. But no, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure all degrees, at least in the UK, are honours degrees.
That's correct. Yes.
I think.
Yes.
So it makes it sound super special or like, ooh, honours. But no, it's not a category of degree.
No.
So, I mean, you know, anyone who graduates with a degree in the UK from a university has an honours degree. And then that can be, a Bachelor of Arts or a Bachelor of Science degree. But they're all honours, so it doesn't really mean anything, in fact.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. That comes later on. The marks come in a different way. So it sounds as if you've kind of like got some sort of, excellent result, but actually they're all honours degrees. Yes, that's
exactly.
Right. So we wanted to take this word degree, right? And it's a word that maybe Spanish speakers use a little bit less. They're kind of aware of it. Sometimes they may not make that mistake in saying career, but they say degree. I've got a degree in this. Perfect. But then we wanted to go to the next level and say, how can you actually use this word degree in a business context? Because number one, there's a possibility of making this mistake, but also it's a useful word if you're kind of wanting to up your level in terms of business communication and a little bit more of formality, right, Alistair?
Yes, because there are other I think most people will know degree temperature, degrees centigrade, no? And a good way of thinking about the other uses of it that we're going to look at is, and you suggested this when we were pre-recording, we were talking about how to explain degree and the different meanings. If you think of a thermometer, and obviously it's graduated, no, into degrees. So it's a scale, no? It's a graduation, a scale. Funnily enough, we went, oh yeah, university, when you get your degree, you graduate, no? Which is a graduation. So probably coincidental, I don't know. But anyway, on a thermometer with degrees of temperature, it's a graduation, no? From whatever it may be, I don't know, 0 up to 100, or I've no idea what's on a thermometer, to be honest. But, and therefore you got that concept of degrees of something, no? Degrees of temperature in this case, which are differentiating, can be higher or lower. No, it's a amounts going up in some kind of gradual scale. No?
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you can use that with various expressions, which we're going to look at now, no? With that sense of degree.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that is exactly what people should maybe keep in mind in terms of, just the idea that this particular, these words or these expressions that we're going to give people today are all related to that sort of thermometer, right? Where there's a connection to like a certain gradual scale of
increments,
something.
Yeah. Scale, yes. Yeah, scale of increase or decrease.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. So I was kind of paying attention not to give the sort of game away there in terms of using the expressions. Mm. But what we will do now is go through some of these expressions, and then it will become clear as to why that sort of thermometer metaphor applies in many of these different contexts, right, Alistair?
Yes, yes. Yeah, degree. There are degrees of different things, no? So degrees of, for example, degree of certainty in something, which is the amount of certainty that you have. To what extent you're certain about something or not. Now that's a degree of certainty.
Absolutely. Yeah, but what we could start off is just to focus on one particular expression, which I kind of think is useful because it relates to your idea of like whether somebody, you imagine, in fact, this has happened quite a few times and clients have asked us, you know, in a different scenarios, and they come to us say, what can I say when I kind of agree, but not fully, right? Mm. And you might be in a meeting or a different sort of context, and you want to sort of say that you agree, but not 100%, right?
Yeah.
And this is exactly where probably the most famous sort of expression it comes about, which is to say, where you say, to a certain degree. Now, it's interesting because like a few weeks ago, somebody highlighted that I say kind of a lot, right? And that's kind of very interesting because it's like, in a way, to a certain degree can be also replaced by kind of. So imagine that somebody states something and they say, oh, Daniel, do you agree? I can either say, to a certain degree, I agree, right? Or I can be less formal and I can say, well, kind of, right? So there are two options there, which is kind of very interesting. But the to a certain degree, I think is useful because it can also be used in a statement, right? To a certain degree, I think this is the best.
Yeah, so to it's express very useful. Your opinion. Yeah. And again, it's sort of the thermometer in terms of it's an amount of agreement, but not total agreement. So it's on your scale, no? A scale of agreement from 1 to 10, how much do you agree? Well, not 10, because that would be I fully agree, no? Or 100, whatever scale you have. But you say, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I agree, I don't know, a 6, a 7. So, you know, I agree to a certain extent, but not completely, no? So to a certain degree. You can say extent. That's what you're saying, no? It's like you agree to a certain extent, to a certain degree. It's a bit more formal. As you said, you could say, well, I kind of agree. I sort of agree. It's like saying, well, not completely, but to a certain amount. And that's where you would say, well, to a certain degree. So degree, again, is that idea of some kind of scale, no, of agreement.
It's kind of that word that you use there as well is a good substitute, like extent, to a certain extent. So for example, sometimes it might be a bit strange to say I agree to a certain degree, because you might be thinking that's kind of repetitive, right? Yeah. So I agree to a certain extent sounds better because you're not repeating it again. So that's kind of nice as well. But as I say, it's a nice way to respond to somebody, but also a nice way to get your opinion out there. Really good as well. You know, to a certain degree, I think maybe this is the best approach.
Yeah, this is the best way of doing it or...
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you agree with something the government is doing or not doing, no? That you say, well, to a certain degree, I think perhaps increasing taxes may help the economy, but I'm not totally convinced. But yeah, to a certain degree, could be useful.
That's really nice. Good. Really, really nice. Kind of quite, it's a bit formal language, but it's nice. It's really nice. It kind of makes it clear. It means also that you don't always have all your eggs in one basket. You're kind of saying that there is a sort of, you're not fully in agreement, as we said before. It is a range. It is a thermometer. And again, with all of these, we'll come back to that thermometer because it's not a black and white situation, right?
Yeah, it's not all or nothing, isn't it? That you totally agree or totally disagree. It's somewhere in the middle, or I suppose to a certain degree you're towards agreeing more than not agreeing, but not totally. This is the point, no? It's like, yeah, well,
that's the point.
To a certain degree, but, and then you probably say however, but, and give your the part of this thing you're not quite sure about, no? Or you have some doubts. You're not 100% convinced that this is the right strategy or the right way to go or the right decision, whatever it may be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's a really useful expression, really useful for everybody's, you know, sort of business English to be able to use that easily and use that word degree. Okay, so not only is it important in terms of describing your education, is also important in terms of expressing either a certain level of agreement related to something, right? So it's really, really powerful, very nice. And then we came up with other elements, which Alistair's sort of mentioned.
Yeah, I jumped the gun a bit there before.
You jumped the gun. That's a good expression, to jump the gun.
Yeah, jump that's really the gun. Good expression. Well, I suppose that's from a race, no? When they fire a starting pistol on your marks, get set. Yeah. In the Olympics. And if you jump the gun, you have to restart the race, no? Because somebody started too quickly. So
I jumped the gun. I think that's a good translation for...
that's true.
It's like, I think I jumped the gun. It's a really good expression for that. Yeah. But so we've got three others. And the first one is degree of satisfaction. Now, this is always reminds me of when we're kind of going through an airport, right? And at the end, they kind of have some electronic device and they kind of got a red angry face and a yellow happy face. I don't know.
Emojis.
And that's right. And that's kind of like your degree, going back to the thermometer, is your degree of satisfaction. Also really important related to, you know, a product or a service, you know. Also many very things, useful in emails, right?
You know? Yeah, yeah. Well, now they send you for everything, no? If you've stayed in any kind of accommodation that you book through one of these websites, applications, that you'll always get an email asking you to rate it, you know, and give a degree of satisfaction from 1 to 5, or as you say, emojis now is the fashion. So you've got, you know, angry face to very happy face, and you've got, you know, a graduation. No, that's what it is, a scale.
Yeah.
Or restaurant, you go to a restaurant, immediately you get an email 5 minutes after you've finished saying, you know, what did you think of a restaurant? Please give your opinion.
Yeah.
And you'll click on something and you'll have some faces that indicate your degree of satisfaction or dissatisfaction with different things. No, service, food, I don't know, they'll give you different categories maybe where you have to give your degree of satisfaction. No, either with a number between 1 and 10 or an emoji with a face, like the airport, as you said.
Absolutely.
There's a big thing now, isn't it, with everything giving...
It is, absolutely. Degree of satisfaction with a service or something. So you might have to send an email to someone and say, what was your degree of satisfaction related to this particular service that you've had, you know?
Yeah.
So an important element there in terms of using the word degree. But there are others as well. And one of them is a degree of difficulty, right? And Alistair, you were talking before we recorded about the degree of difficulty of... hiking routes, for example, right?
Yeah, because in fact I was just looking at this, because we planned our summer holidays going to Slovakia and a bit of Poland and a bit of Austria. And in Slovakia, on the border with Poland, you have these wonderful looking mountains, the Tatra Mountains, part of the Carpathian range, and they look spectacular. So we're thinking of going there and doing a bit of hiking, a bit of walking in the mountains, senderismo, hiking, trekking, whatever you want to call it, various words you can use. So I was just looking at some walks there, and I've actually got an application that you can use anywhere in the world. I use it in Spain, but you can use it wherever you are. I can't remember what it's called, but I shouldn't advertise, so I won't mention it. But very useful application for walks, and it shows you, it gives you maps, and it shows you routes. And of course, when you choose one of these routes, it tells you certain information about the route, the walk, the hike. And it will say, you know, length, I don't know, 16 kilometers. And then it'll tell you if it's one way or circular. You know, circular route returning to the same point or one direction. So that's always that you see 10 kilometers. You go, 10 kilometers, it's not too far. And then you see one way, that's 20 then, because you've got to get back. And another one of the categories that it gives you always is degree of difficulty. And it says easy, moderate, or... I don't know what it puts, hard or difficult, can't remember. And that's very important if you're going to go walking in the mountains or wherever. Obviously, different people have different physical capacities depending on many things, your age or whatever it may be. So you don't want to choose a 25-kilometer degree of difficulty, very difficult. you know, climbing up the top of a mountain that might give you, you know, might drop dead of a heart attack. So, sure. You know, I usually choose the you know, moderate for me is good. Difficult, well, it depends. Yeah. So there's a lot of climbing involved, very, you know, a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Steep. So the mountain water is very steep, very inclined.
Oh, yeah.
With a lot of elevation. That's another thing they say. Elevation is another category. Yeah. You know, 1,500 meters of elevation. You go, ooh, it's very difficult. So I was just looking at that exactly before we started recording some walks in the Tatra Mountains of Slovakia.
Yeah. Steep is a word that many Spanish speakers don't know. They say, like, they don't know that word very much. No.
Very useful.
It's like they say kind of like gradient in many cases, right? What is the gradient? Or this is the gradient is very high or something like that. But actually, steep is the word we use in English a lot. Yeah.
So when there is a high gradient, you say, oh, it's very steep.
You say steep, yeah. Mm. Steep, yeah. It's an important word to
and
have.
And you mentioned skiing.
Oh, skiing, absolutely. Yeah, skiing, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know whether you've ever gone skiing, Alistair, but
no,
I did when
skiing.
I was... Oh, no, okay. When I was a kid, I went to different places and I kind of had a mixed experience with skiing, but it is amazing, I have to say, like going out and being outside and being in the mountains is absolutely incredible. Mm. But they do have different types of ski runs and ski slopes.
There's a good word, slope, pista de ski, ski slope.
Yeah. Ski slope. And normally, well, this will be not new for anybody who's a skier, but basically there are blue, red and black slopes. And of course they show the degree of difficulty of that particular slope. Okay, so blue is generally very easy, then red gets a little bit harder, and then black for me is basically terrifying.
Yes. So the least one is for the beginners. No, the beginner's slopes when you just learn.
Yeah, the beginners actually don't really have a color, or I can't remember what the color is.
No color.
Yeah, or maybe it's green. I can't remember. But then it's blue, red, black, and I only got onto the blues and the reds. Some reds were still tricky, but I never.
Did
really
you ever
got
try
a
black?
And then I don't think I wanted to try a black because red. I wasn't really skilled enough to do a black, but yeah. Yeah.
So there you are. It's a bit like the walking. It's the same idea.
It is true.
Degrees
absolutely.
Degrees of difficulty. And then
absolutely.
You choose accordingly to your ability, no? Or your physical capacities, no?
Yeah. And the last one, which is the one that you mentioned previously.
I jumped the gun, yes.
You jumped the gun. Degree of certainty, okay? So obviously, if you... I don't know. In lots of different situations, there might be a degree of certainty. You may be going to a meeting and you're not sure whether your boss is going to turn up. There's going to be a degree of certainty whether he's going to turn up or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably of something, isn't it?
Exactly.
Likelihood.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So you can say something like, to what degree do you think that is likely? So that could be, you know, related to the degree of certainty. You can use also that expression, no? To what degree do you think that is likely?
Or likely to happen, a particular event or something. No?
Yeah, absolutely.
So all again, three examples of degree with a level or an amount of those different things, no? Certainty or satisfaction or difficulty, no?
That's right.
Again, you're looking at the thermometer and the scale of something, no? From 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 or whatever it may be.
That's right. Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. So there you go. Hopefully that has introduced a new word into your vocabulary. It's clearly a word that can be used in lots of different contexts. First one obviously is important in those interviews and to say that you've got a degree and not a career, okay, when you're talking about the educational element. Then the second part really was obviously everybody mostly knows the whole ideas of the degree centigrade, but it's a nice metaphor to remember this word by. And then use this particular expression, which is to a certain degree, which is when you're agreeing, but you're kind of, it's like a reserved agreement, right? You're not fully agreed. So you can say to a certain degree, or like, as Alistair mentioned also, to a certain extent, which is really nice as well. If you can get that word extent into your vocabulary, it's really good. And then at the end, we kind of used three different types of degrees, which is degree of satisfaction, degree of difficulty, and degree of certainty, which I think are also very, very useful. So hopefully that was useful for everyone and added an extra bit of vocabulary to your to your range of English words. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Alistair, I hope our listeners, you know, have a high degree of satisfaction with this yes. episode or with the podcast.
That's right.
Let us know.
I did think about that as well, that whole idea of a degree of satisfaction related to this particular podcast episode. Absolutely. Yeah. Alistair, thank you very much. Really nice. And I'll see you again next week. All right.
Yeah. See you soon. Ciao.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.